Hear now the word of the Lord. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she doesn't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, you will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" This is the word of God for us today. Are you a man or an amoeba? Something that the drill instructor said to the new recruits. Man or an amoeba? Amoebas are known for their soft, squishy, weak, formless constitution. Just a blob of an existence. And it was very interesting. I've read some studies on amoebas. I've read about studies on amoebas and what they're like, and discovered that an amoeba, if it's placed in a perfectly stress-free environment, where it has the perfect amount of food and nutrients and moisture and all of that, that it can't survive. When whatever it is that gives amoebas stomach ulcers and high blood pressure is taken away, they can't survive. They need the challenge. They need the stress of the environment to help them grow and develop and multiply and whatnot. I think the same is true of human lives as well. We tend to need a challenge, too, every once in a while. And without challenge, without a struggle, without stress, we don't grow, and there's no opportunity for us to even see God working on our behalf when we are at our weakest moments and we see God coming in and intervening for us. Well, with most of us don't have anything to worry about then, because life is anything but a stress-free environment for most people. In fact, our journey in life, we can experience so much stress and trouble, we can easily forget that God is around, or that God is on our side, or that God even hears us when we pray to him. It's easy to get caught up in our own stress and worries that we forget about the riches of God's grace in Christ that are available to us through prayer. The words of Jesus in the story called the Parable of the Persistent Widow are meant to be a call to faith and faithfulness, especially when we begin to feel like, or we're being treated like, an amoeba, like a nobody. Here, Jesus calls his followers to faith and persistent prayer in difficult times of persecution and injustice, because his disciples are about to experience these things. It's a call to trust that God will make all things right in the end, that God's people will be vindicated, justice for his chosen ones who have suffered so much at the hands of people who have rejected God and all things of God. And see, there are two sets of comparisons we're supposed to pay attention to in today's passage. You have the unjust judge and the widow on the one hand, and you have God on the other hand. And God and God's elect on the other hand. But first, how did Jesus get to this point, and what are the context around the story and these words about the persistent prayer and this persistent widow? Well, we begin with the nature of the coming of the kingdom, because it goes back to the beginning of chapter 17, the preceding chapter, the one we read today. In verse 20, it says, "Once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come," because they're kind of confused now. Jesus is talking about a different sort of kingdom that the Pharisees were expecting that would come. Well, they're asking Jesus about this, and Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." There will be no need to waste your time discerning the coming of the kingdom or about end times, when it exactly will happen, when Jesus will come back, as if you could straighten yourself up and get all pretty and be prepared for it to come. when it happens. Jesus goes on to say that that judgment day will be like lightning in the sky, something that everyone's going to see and experience, but it's going to happen in an instant. Won't be any second chances after that day arrives. And when that day comes, Jesus continues in chapter 17, right before our passage, it will be like the days of Noah and Lot when judgment came in their day. People will be eating and drinking and marrying, and they won't care anything about God or the things of God. And all of a sudden, like that, it will happen. People won't be paying attention to God. People will be holding too tightly to the things of this world and hold on too tightly to the values of a broken world. And those people will not hear the voice of God in their midst. A lot like the Pharisees, I think, what Jesus is saying here in this passage. So that judgment day is delayed as God is patiently awaiting his church, his people, to go out and to spread the godly and gospel influence throughout the world. Now, the kingdom of God will not necessarily come with the fireworks display. Jesus essentially says to the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees, the kingdom of God is standing in your midst. It's in your face, if you will. It's in me, he says. I'm right here. Just take a look at my ministry, Jesus is saying. Can't you see it? The kingdom rule of God is here and now. Don't you see that people are being healed? Don't you see that crowds of people are gaining faith and hope that they didn't have before? The blind are receiving sight. Demons from the rebel kingdom of Satan are being cast out. Don't you see that these things are happening? The kingdom of God is in your midst. It's right before you. There's no need to speculate about a future day of judgment. There is a kingdom reality that exists right here and right now in Jesus Christ. And there's work to be done for the kingdom today. But the message to the disciples is a little different. Chapter 17, Jesus is addressing the Pharisees and trying to answer their question, and then he's teaching the disciples as well, because he knows they're with him, and he knows that they're listening too. Yes, there is work to do, but it's not going to be easy. And Jesus tells them that the Son of Man must suffer and be rejected by men. By that, of course, he's referring to his own suffering and crucifixion. The present hope of the kingdom will come after Jesus ascends into heaven, but it will be a challenging and a stressful time for those who follow Jesus. God's people will continue to live by kingdom values in a world that is chock full of people who reject God and the things of God and snub their noses at anything to do with God. It's going to be a challenge. So the point of this passage is this: the disciples or followers of Jesus will need to be faithful and prayerful until Jesus comes again. They will need to keep hope alive, to keep praying, to keep believing, to keep longing and expecting the coming of the Savior. Jesus is trying to prepare them for the long haul here. And they will need this for the long haul. Coming kingdom of God or the day of judgment will come one day, but in the meantime, God's people need to continue to be engaged in a ministry of love, a ministry of peace, a prayer, and a gospel proclamation from the here and now until kingdom come. Jesus is preparing his followers for a long-haul discipleship here. And an essential question this passage is answering is this: how should Christians handle a world that rejects them because they revere Christ, because they live by those convictions? How should the Christian handle the injustice of persecution they will face and from individuals and governments alike? And the answer, of course, is to pray. Pray without losing heart. And have a faith that can stand the light of day and endure the dark of night. Because Jesus is preparing his followers. We will have these times. So next, Jesus gives his disciples, well, and us today too, an example or a parable of the importance of persistence in prayer and the faithfulness of God and God's persistence in his pursuit of us and God's love and his grace. So the example of the widow and the unjust judge. Well, it's the last week for the disciples on a long journey before Jesus enters into Jerusalem on a donkey. Soon the people will be shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And so Jesus encourages his followers with this parable in order, as it says, to show them that they should always pray, not give up. They should always pray and not give up because tough times are coming. Now get a load of the characters and the impossible situation in this parable. Jesus begins, in a certain town, doesn't matter what town, there is a judge. This judge couldn't care less about God or about people. He's everything that a judge is not supposed to be. And then a widow in that town comes to this beastly judge. She's poor, she has no husband, and therefore has absolutely no social standing or clout in the courts or in society of that day and of that culture. Who's going to care about what she's going through? Who cares about her case? She's merely a widow. The lowest of the low, the bottom of the ladder in this culture. And by the way, she may be younger than you think. We often think of widows as being older women or older men, widowers. But in the ancient culture, she could have been maybe even 30 or younger. She pleads with the judge. She petitions the court. Give me justice, justice over my enemy. The widow continued to beat on the door of the courtroom. She kept coming to the judge, who neither feared God or cared about people. Again and again she would come, and again she would plead her case, and again this judge would refuse to listen to her. A widow before an unjust judge who neither fears God nor cares about people. It's one of the most hopeless, impossible scenes of the Bible, I think. It's a scene, I think, that God's people often can find themselves in, these seemingly hopeless situations. Does God hear us when we pray to Him? Or are we just doing something out of duty? Sometimes it seems that God doesn't hear us when we pray. We pray for something and for a long time, and then nothing seems to happen or change in our lifetimes. You know those times in your own life, don't you? For some of you have been praying for your children for a long, long time. Others have been praying for their parents. Still others have been praying about a health issue for a very long time, and it seems like nothing is changing. What's going on? Is God up there? Is He out there? Is He really hearing me? And if He does, why aren't things changing? Is God trying to change me instead of changing the things in my life, the situation, the circumstances? Situations like these can cause us to give up on prayer, and worse yet, they can cause us to stop trusting God and to stop coming to Him, asking Him for help. There are a number of reasons why we don't persist in prayer, and sometimes it's because we don't think we're worthy to be heard by God. For some people, prayer is just something the minister does. And for others, prayer is intimidating, and the self-conscious person worries about doing it just right. If they can't do it just right, or they're not sure they're doing it just right, then they won't do it. But the Bible says that all believers, it says to all believers, in all things, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, offer your requests to God. And elsewhere it says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Like the widow in a seemingly impossible and hopeless situation, Jesus wants to remind His disciples, and He wants to remind us today too, to always pray and not give up. Faithfulness and persistence in prayer is required for the long haul and for a long-haul disciple or follower of Jesus. A fundamental assumption that Jesus makes and other biblical writers make when they encourage us to pray is this, that God hears. He hears us when we pray. It's a beautiful, refreshing, empowering truth from God's Word that God hears us when we pray to Him. The unjust judge again and again refused to hear this widow. Then one day the judge said to himself, verse 4, even though I don't fear God or care about what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me or wear me out, as some translations have it. This widow is a nuisance and a bother to this judge. So finally, the unjust judge does the right thing. He gives the widow justice over her enemy. Begrudgingly, it appears. And Jesus tells his disciples, I like this, he tells his disciples, listen to what the unjust judge says. Listen to what he says. See for yourself how this judge, who neither fears God or cares about people, eventually he even does the right thing to one of the most insignificant persons in society. Eventually, even the unjust judge cares for the widow, only if he cares to get her out of his hair. Even he does the right thing. Will not God, Jesus is trying to teach his disciples, will not God, verse 7, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? It's the how much more phrase that is repeated often in the Bible and in Luke especially. He's carrying on the fatherly theme of the Lord's Prayer in chapter 11 of Luke. How much more your heavenly Father will hear you and do what is right by you? How much more? Don't you know that God is good and just? Don't you know that he loves you and he cares for you? He's not an unjust judge. Don't you know that the God to whom you pray, I tell you, Jesus says, God will see that his chosen ones get justice and get it quickly. God's people will be vindicated. God the Father is faithful and persistent in his pursuit of us, in his grace and his mercy. Jesus is returning for his own one day, but this isn't just a future. God will make all things right. God is also today preserving his church, preserving the faithful, so that the faithful do not perish, do not die out in the land, but he keeps us going. And though we're struck down, we're not destroyed. We get back up and we keep moving forward. And the Church of Christ continues to thrive and spread throughout the world. Jesus calls for faith and prayer for a long-haul spiritual journey of discipleship in this world. We too, as Christ's disciples, have confidence in our good, just, and almighty God, and that he hears us when we pray. We have this confidence because, as the Bible says, that God's love, in his love for us, he sends his Son to die on the cross to save us from our sins. That God hears us because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. Therefore, in Christ, we may approach, the Bible says, we may approach the throne of God with confidence and boldness in our prayers. And I had read of a group of Christians in Ethiopia who did just that, where they went to God boldly and confidently in prayer to make a huge change for what was going on. For there was this tribe in Ethiopia lived along the Awash River, and by this river was a huge tree. And the people in this tribe would worship this tree. They would pray to this tree. They would look to this tree for help. It had some magical powers or something, so they thought, some spiritual powers, so that especially during times of drought, they would look to this tree for help. Well, as a group of Christians who came from World Vision went there, and they taught the people how to irrigate their fields during time of drought so they could grow crops and have food and whatnot. And they were successful. They were able to grow the crops and have food. But the tribe's people, they gave the credit to the tree. They kept worshiping the tree, sent thank offerings to the tree and that sort of thing. And so the Christians, they didn't want that. They weren't there just to teach people how to irrigate their fields. They wanted to point them to the one true living God. And so what they did is said, we're going to start praying. So they started praying that God would do something about this tree that was distracting the people in this village. And everybody in the village, this tribe, they knew what the Christians were praying for. Not always very happy, of course, because they're praying to the one thing that was supposedly giving them hope. But they thought it was very, very powerful, this tree. So the Christians prayed. Within 3 months, the leaves started to wither and die on the tree. And within 1 year of continuously praying, the tree fell into the river and was washed away in the Awash River. It was washed away. God heard their prayers and answered in a very powerful way. And when the villagers saw this as they saw the Christians praying, they saw what happened to their tree, which was pretty much their God, and they saw that this Christian God was more powerful than this tree or the spirits around this tree or whatever it was. They all gave their lives to Christ. God hears the persistent prayers of his chosen ones. So whether it's at a hospital bedside or in the classroom or on the job site or in the mission field, God's people can rely on their good, just, and loving God who hears them when they pray. You see, when the Pharisees wanted to see the kingdom of God, Jesus said they had to deal with him first. All people have to deal with him first. The presence of God and his kingdom in Christ. That's why the eyes of faith must be persistently focused on the Savior and the hope of the coming kingdom that has already begun to spread and influence and change the world for good and for God today. But the story this morning isn't about pestering God until he answers us. I don't want you to go away thinking that. The story is that God hears. God does hear. He persists in his love and his grace, so keep praying. You see, the judge is unjust, but God is just. The widow is considered an outsider. We're considered an insider in Christ. The widow had no promises. We have the promise of God. The widow had no lawyer. We have a great high priest who has gone before us, who is enthroned in heaven interceding for us as I speak. So keep praying. Remember to pray and not give up because God hears. Would you pray with me? God who hears, hear our prayers today. For some of us are coming to you, Lord, from broken situations. Some of us are coming to you in our prayers from very, very sad situations. Some of us come to you, Lord, today with conflicting situations of anger and disagreement. Lord, meet us in the intimacy of our concerns and our troubles and our joys as well and our praises. Direct our eyes of faith to the abundant riches we have in you through Christ. And when the days get long and when the nights seem never-ending, when our middle names seem to change to trouble, and when hope seems distant, in these times, Lord, refresh us once again with the sure promises of your holy word and fill us with passion and inspiration by your Holy Spirit. Keep our faith strong, vital, and real. And when Christ returns, may he find the elect faithfully fulfilling the calling of the kingdom. May he indeed find faith in our midst. We lift these prayers to you, Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit is one God forever and ever.